You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
These couple of hours, got a couple of guests coming up in the second hour you can look forward to. My conversation with Rick Becker coming up during the second segment of the second hour. Rick, who is a blogger and also a nursing professor at Bethel College in Mishawaka, Indiana, right outside of South Bend. He's been a somewhat regular guest. I just love his writing. He writes for the National Catholic Register. He has his own blog with maybe the best named blog there is on the web, called God Haunted Lunatic. Love it. Anyway, we're going to talk about a column he wrote about toting Christ, his experience as an extraordinary minister of Holy Communion, taking communion to those who cannot come to Mass, really is a beautiful reflection on that and a reminder of the sacred responsibility that we all have to take Christ into the world. And then in the bottom of the second hour, we'll talk to Leslie Knopf, Leslie, who was our Vatican correspondent for a couple of years while she was over in Rome getting her master's in institutional church communications. Now she's working full-time for the Catholic media ministry called Catholic Bites, B-Y-T-E-S, of course, down in beautiful Austin, Texas. She's going to be with us in the second hour to talk about the latest that Catholic Bites is up to in terms of getting the faith out there, basic catechesis, evangelization, and all the rest. So we'll look forward to that conversation with Leslie Knopf in the second hour. Always fun. I'm sure she's probably getting ready to come home for Christmas, spend a little time with family. So we'll catch her at just the right time. If you want to chime in on the show anytime during the day, 573-4BREAD-4 is the number to call, 573-4BREAD-4, or you can email me, mikeallenshow@gmail.com. We'll also talk about the kind of questions that suffering prompts and a warning of sorts, and I do that sort of in air quotes, a warning for John Legend, some remarks that he made that I thought were interesting and could be opening him up for a world of adventure. We'll see. Anyway, great to be with you. I hope you had a great rest of your day. I'm, you know, kind of in that season trying to wrap things up with the class that I teach at the local high school. Now the students are prepping for finals, which is an intense period for them. Of course, if you are a college student, you're in the midst of finals right now, so hope that's going well. Maybe you're already done. Who knows? But other than that, pretty low-key, getting ready to go to Raleigh, North Carolina for my nephew's wedding and all of that. Pray for the people of Aleppo, Syria. There's so much happening in the world. There's so much suffering going on. And so many people, so many of our brothers and sisters in Christ who are facing real darkness. And the people of Aleppo, I guess, the last stronghold of in the Syrian civil war, the governing authorities led by Russia as well, crashing in on East Aleppo collapsing. And there have been reports of really grave humanitarian crises there, of the gunning down of innocents, of horrible, unspeakable violence. And just a reminder to us as people were, in this world of social media that we live in, you had people who were tweeting out the last moments they expected to be alive. Some even videos expressing. And it's such, Syria is probably just about ground zero in terms of the complicated mess of our relationship with Russia. That's been all in the conversation here recently with the ascendancy of Donald Trump. And now you've got the nomination of Rex Tillerson as Secretary of State and how to navigate this thing because Russians, the Russians heavily behind backing the regime there in Syria. And, it's been in many ways a toxic mess because you've had certain rebels who I think the U.S. would support there. Then you've had others more closely tied with ISIS and other extremist groups. But caught in the crosshairs, of course, are all the innocent victims. There are signs now that those who have been part of the rebellion are being allowed to to be exiled or to leave the area without any further damage. Let's hope that that truce of sorts, that very shaky truce, can hold. But let's offer a memorare prayer for all those suffering there and other places throughout the world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, we fly unto you, O Virgin of Virgins, our Mother. To you we come, before you we stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not our petition, but in your mercy hear and answer us through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today, the memorial feast of St. John of the Cross, priest and doctor of the Church, many ways mentored by St. Teresa of Avila, a Spanish saint there in the 16th century, during the very important time of what is sometimes called the Counter-Reformation. St. John of the Cross, according to, this is the Advent calendar that is on the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops website, which is worth checking out. It's usually got a quote of the day, if there's a saint of the day, a brief paragraph about that, a prayer for that particular day. It's a great way to walk through Advent. Again, check it out at usccb.org, and then you'll see the tag at the top for the Advent calendar. But they have the information here about St. John of the Cross. Quote of the day comes from St. John of the Cross. On the evening of life, we shall be judged on our love. And then it tells us about St. John of the Cross. A doctor of the Church, John is also one of its great mystics and poets, born Juan de Yepes de Alvarez in Spain. He was raised by his mother and entered a Carmelite monastery in 1563. He was ordained in 1567 as a priest, finding the Carmelites, an order that had been around for quite some time. He found the Carmelites very lax, but he joined with St. Teresa of Avila to reform the order. In 1568, he entered the first reformed house for men, taking the name John of the Cross. He encountered severe opposition and was even imprisoned for 9 months in a monastery cell, where he began writing poems. The Dark Night of the Soul is his most famous work. Only after his death was he recognized as co-founder of the Discalced Carmelites. He is the patron saint of mystics and poets. The thing that one I think the important things about St. John of the Cross, particularly, and I don't think the readings were designed to reflect St. John of the Cross, but we'll check this off for Providence in terms of the liturgical calendar, the lectionary, and how the readings shake out, because you got this passage from Isaiah in which the Lord says, now you have to, again, keep in mind, this is Isaiah 45. The first 39 chapters of Isaiah really tell the story of the impending fall of the northern kingdom and then the later fall of the southern kingdom to enemy nations, to Assyria and then to Babylon. And if you read the early chapters of Isaiah particularly, it's almost an image of scorched earth, of the darkness, the suffering that's going to come to the Israelites. And sadly enough, it's a suffering that through seeds that they had sown for themselves through their disobedience and through their idolatry and through their injustice. And so once you pass over from Isaiah 39 into Isaiah 40, begins to be signs of hope. But as the prophet in Isaiah 45 points out, the Lord is in the midst of all of it. I am the Lord, there is no other. I form the light, I create the darkness, I make well-being and create woe. I, the Lord, do all these things. God is in the midst of the light. God is in the midst of the darkness. He's in the midst of the joy. He's in the midst of the suffering. And then we flip over to the gospel reading, Luke chapter 7, and you have this account of John the Baptist, who's now been imprisoned for standing against Herod and his unlawful marriage. Now, John, who's in prison, hearing word of the works of Jesus, summons two of his own disciples and sends them to the Lord to ask, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we look for another?" It is a question that has raised so many interpretations over the centuries. What's going on with John here? Is in his imprisonment, is he experiencing a shadow of doubt about the one to whom he once pointed and declared, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world"? Is it his own suffering, his own experience of forsakenness, that's prompting him to ask questions? If he's the Savior, why is no one saving me? These are the questions suffering prompts. St. John of the Cross walks straight into those questions as well. We'll talk in the second hour how he dealt with them, how we can deal with them. This is the Mike Allen Show. Question of the day when we come back. You're listening to Breadbox Media.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
Minutes past the hour, you're back on the Mike Allen Show. Seriously, pray for the people of Syria. I was just reading a report, I guess, appears to the Union of Medical Care and Relief Organizations, which provides free medical aid to the people of Syria, claim that children are among the 93 victims of a chemical gas attack which took place near the city of Hama. At least 16 of those killed in the suspected gas attack. This is chemical weapons being used by the current regime of Syria, Bashar al-Assad, against their own people. War is hell, as they say, and in a civil war like this, it's, this is where, welcome to the presidency, Mr. Trump. Those daily intelligence briefings that you seem to not want, you better be taking them, because you're taking on an office and a position of decision-making that for which you will be held to account. You wanted it, you got it. I would say that to anybody elected, because it's just a devastating situation in the world right now. And, it's easy to, it's just tough. It's easy to say, we're not the world's policemen. Difficult thing to see. These kind of things going on, and in this world that has shrunk so much through the use of the internet and social media and all that, to see that and to know what we have the capability of doing to hold people to account or whatever, it's tough decisions, but there are a lot of people suffering. This great humanitarian refugee crisis that we have in the world right now, you want to see center stage, it's the situation in Syria, for sure. My question of the day today, it is Alabama Statehood Day. On this day, I'll have to look it up. Alabama became the 22nd state of the Union, 1819. I didn't realize that Alabama had been a state, so they're coming up on their 200th anniversary in just a couple of years. Now, I have a particular affection and fondness for Alabama because my wife's from Alabama. She grew up there, born in the Anniston, Alabama area as a little girl. Ended up leaving Anniston, Alabama in about 1967, when my wife was a year and a half old. Her father, who worked for the fire department, was accidentally killed in an accident. He had gone to the scene of a fire. And there was some problem with the fire truck, and he had to crawl under it to try to bleed some fluid off the brakes. The brakes had locked up, and when he got under there, something went wrong and the truck rolled over him and killed him. Still, I think 49 years later, the last firefighter killed in the line of duty in Anniston, Alabama. There's a nice memorial to him there at the fire station, Jimmy Walker. But my wife then moved several places around Alabama before finally moving up to Kentucky years later, and then to Lexington, where we broadcast from, my hometown, where we met when we were both in high school. So I have a particular affection for the state of Alabama for obvious reasons. So I'm asking a question of the day. If you had a day, 24 hours, to spend in Alabama the Beautiful, what are some things that you would want to do, some things that you would want to see? 573-4BREAD-4, if you want to call or text, 573-4BREAD-4. Or you can email me, MikeAllenShow@gmail.com, or you can post a response on Facebook or on Twitter, social media. Let me see really quick. There is an Alabama top 10 attractions link that I put on here. And let's see what they list as the top 10 attractions to see in Alabama. Number one, the U.S. Space and Rocket Center down there in Huntsville. I think they have a space camp down there, I believe, every year. Number two, the Birmingham Zoo. Let's see. Number three, the Robert Trent Jones Golf Trail. I could get into that. Point Mallard Park, number four. Yes, I've been there. It's been a long time, though, there in Decatur. They used to have, I don't know whether they still allow people to jump off of it for liability reasons, but a 10-meter platform that you could jump off of. Now, you think 10 meters. That doesn't sound like much. You get up there, it's 33 feet. Let's see. Cheeha State Park. Never been there. Let's see. Oh, this is one of those annoying things where you got to tag to another page to see the top 10. I'll give you the rest of the top 10 later, but would love to hear from you. I'd also like to go to Mobile. I've never been to Mobile, right on the coast, or to Gulf Shores, Alabama. I'm sure that's nice as well. So anyway, give me a call if you want to. 573-4BREAD-4, 573-4BREAD-4. Or you can email me, MikeAllenShow@gmail.com. Interesting story in college football, shifting over to sports. Wake Forest, which, you know, when Wake Forest evidently, when they came up to Louisville, Kentucky, earlier this year to play a football game against the Louisville Cardinals, there was some mini controversy, you know. We've had in the NFL, of course, Deflategate and, you know, stealing signal gate with Belichick and all the rest. This was a little bit different. Wake Forest game plans were actually found in the stadium, in Louisville Stadium. And, you know, there was a lot of suspicion of how exactly that happened. Well, it turns out it was an inside job, evidently. Wake Forest firing their radio analyst, who is also a former player and a former assistant coach, for attempting to leak football game plans. This story out of Winston-Salem, after several weeks of investigating how documents pertaining to Wake Forest's game plan might have ended up in Louisville's possession before their game on November 12th. Wake Forest officials said the culprit was internal. Tommy Elrod, he was a member of the football program from 93 to 97. He was a radio announcer for Wake Forest football games. And he has, quote, provided or attempted to provide confidential and proprietary game preparations on multiple occasions, starting in 2014, based on emails, text messages, and phone records. Statement said no one in the athletic department or on the football team staff or roster was involved. That's just, I mean, are you cutting off your nose to spite your face? That's bizarre. Now, my only question is, and honestly, I'm not using this as an opportunity, well, maybe a little bit, to pick on my alma mater, the University of Kentucky's rival, University of Louisville. But, I mean, it takes two to tango. I mean, somebody has to want that information. And I don't think this story is over yet. Louisville coach Bobby Petrino, of course, denied having any personal knowledge of the matter. And I'm not saying he did. But there's something not, I mean, there's more, there got to be more to this story of how this went down. So stay tuned, and we'll see how that all plays out. Another interesting piece on ESPN.com today. I guess the movie Jerry Maguire, now 20 years old, or almost 20 years old, Tom Cruise depiction of the world of sports agency. The article here that the film Jerry Maguire ruined the sports agency industry. One of the things it did, I guess, even though if you think about it, if you've seen the movie, it does not exactly depict a successful sports agent. In fact, Jerry Maguire, by choosing integrity over unbridled greed, actually sees his business largely dry up. Yet there was something about the movie that stirred up a whole wave of excited young people to enter into the industry. And evidently, because of the glut of sports agents, really drastically dropped down the share of the profits that they could receive from the work that they do. So, blame Jerry Maguire for the problem with sports agents. So I thought that was a fascinating piece. Saw where the Warriors won again. They're about to set another pace. I don't know if they'll set a pace to outdo last year's 73 wins, but I guess you never know. They certainly, after that opening game hiccup, seem to have really found their stride for sure. All right, let's at least try to get into a couple of the What Were You Thinking nominees for the day. Go Dumb or Go Home, as we like to say. This actually a story reported here locally. We broadcast from Lex18.com. And you thought your day was bad. Suspects pocket dial 911. Discuss plans to rob restaurant where police chief was eating. Yesterday we talked about a guy who decided to try to walk out with a 58-inch flat screen TV out of a Walmart on Shop with a Cop Day. This evidently out of Danville, Kentucky. A routine trip to a local diner allowed Danville's police chief to serve a side of justice to some would-be robbers. According to the Danville Advocate Messenger newspaper, police say two suspects were sitting inside their car outside of Brothers Barbecue discussing their plans to rob the restaurant. Unfortunately for them, one of the men had accidentally pocket-dialed police dispatch. Serendipitously, Police Chief Tony Gray was enjoying dinner and talking to owner Mike Southerland when he got a phone call. They started to walk out together. Then Tony gets a call. I see Tony's police face come on, so I knew something was up. Owner Mike Southerland told the Advocate Messenger. Gray was told the dispatch had picked up the accidental call, could hear people discussing robbing a business. They were able to ping the cell phone to the parking lot, and they were actually able to talk to the guys and arrest them before anything went down. Wow. All right, more when we come back from the break. This is the Mike Allen Show.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
Right at the bottom of the hour, welcome back into the Mike Allen Show on this feast day of St. John of the Cross. Got a question, suffering prompts. St. John of the Cross dealt with them. We'll talk about that in the second hour. Also a conversation with Rick Becker about Toting Christ, his work as an extraordinary minister of Holy Communion, and also Leslie Knopf with the latest from Catholic Bites, all that coming up. Again, my question of the day, it's Alabama Statehood Day. This day in 1819, Alabama, the beautiful, became one of the 50 states. So my question is, you got 24 hours, one day to spend in Alabama. What would you do? As I said, I've got a special affection for the state since it produced my beloved wife. So anyway, some comments we got on this. Mary says, ooh, let's see, an entire day at Gulf Shores would be pretty nice. Then there's Space Camp, Bellingrath Gardens, too many agritourism attractions to count. The Robert Trent Jones Golf Trail plays at the Shakespeare Festival, Muscle Shoals, DeSoto Caverns, Rattlesnake Saloon, and the city of Mentone. And that's not even including time for football games. Oh, yeah. Going to Tuscaloosa. That's a beautiful campus, by the way. I've been there. I've never been to the loveliest little city on the plains, as they call it. My friend Alan Alday's alma mater, Auburn. But anyway, too many choices for one day, she says. Lindsay says, I would go see my sister and her family who live near Birmingham, but otherwise, the beach for sure. Daniel said he'd go to an Alabama football game, and Deacon Jim says Orange Beach. So definitely makes me want to get down there again, see some of my in-laws as well. 573-4-BREAD-4 if you want to chime in. 573-4-BREAD-4. You can email me, MikeAllenShow@gmail.com. All right, let's get back into our What Were You Thinking nominees of the day. Again, spanning the globe, finding occasions where human beings didn't put their best thinking foot forward. Go dumb or go home. Those guys who accidentally pocket dialed the police dispatcher to talk about robbing the very restaurant whose parking lot they were sitting in while the police chief was inside was certainly a classic. They, even when they found the guys in their car, one of them had a mask with them. But our second nominee will kind of turn the table from robber to cop. Police said they, actually Australia, police red-faced after a seven-hour standoff at empty Melton House west of Melbourne. Police have been left red-faced after embarking on a seven-hour standoff outside a Melton House, only to discover no one was inside. Come out with your hands up. Come out. 7 hours later, discovering that no one was actually in the house. Though, hate when that happens. But the winner on this day's edition of What Were You Thinking, we're going to give to the Texas Governor Rick Perry. Rick Perry, who, if you'll recall, back in 2012, Rick Perry was on a debate. He was trying to win the nomination for, or the GOP nomination to run against incumbent Barack Obama. And if you'll recall, he was making a bold claim about eliminating waste in government at the time. And he said, three agencies of government when I get there that are gone. Commerce, education, and then the ultimate brain freeze. He could not remember the third one. And I don't mean he couldn't remember the third one for like a second. He couldn't remember the third one for the entire debate. And, of course, it turned out that the third one, he would eliminate agency of government when he gets there. He clarified later was the Department of Energy. Well, guess who's now been tabbed to be the Secretary of Energy for a Donald Trump administration? And who said yes? Rick Perry. Rick Perry is going to lead the very agency he said he was going to eliminate. And not only that, just to show you that I'm not sure any of these guys have souls, I'll be honest with you. Because you saw it in the kind of things that, for example, Hillary Clinton did to Bernie Sanders in his campaign. And yet then Bernie Sanders turns around and endorses her for president. Meanwhile, on the other side, you know, Donald Trump calls out Ted Cruz's father as basically being the grassy knoll shooter in the JFK assassination, makes fun of Ted Cruz's wife, and yet Ted Cruz still endorses him. Give Jeb Bush credit for this. I mean, he didn't turn around after the personal insults that flew between the Donald and himself and endorse the guy. Well, Rick Perry said, this is what Rick Perry said in July 2015 about Donald Trump. He is without substance when one scratches below the surface. He offers a barking carnival act that can best be described as Trumpism, a toxic mix of demagoguery and mean-spiritedness and nonsense that will lead the Republican Party to perdition if pursued. I'm sorry, I didn't mean any of that. I'll be the Secretary of Energy. So Rick Perry gets the What Were You Thinking award. I mean, seriously. It is hard to take any of this stuff seriously when you see that kind of stuff happen. I mean, seriously, come on. Crazy. 5734-BREAD-4. If you've got your own nominee, 5734-BREAD-4, you can email me, MikeAllenShow@gmail.com. Believe me, we've all paid the stupid tax at one time or another. So, you know, if you want to come clean on that, we would love to hear from you. All right, let's look back at history just a little bit and see a few things that have happened on this day over the ages. December 14th. In 1503, Nostradamus was born in Saint-Rémy de Provence, France. The astrologist and prophet died in 1566. I always remember that for some reason, that big long documentary special about him with Orson Welles. Let's see. George Washington died on this day in 1799 at the age of 67. Already told you, Alabama Statehood Day on 1819 on this day. Let's see. Shirley Jackson, short story writer, died at the age of 49 on this day in 1965. Of course, every high school student has read her chilling short story, The Lottery. James Comey, FBI director, 56 years old today. Should be an interesting transition for him. Let's see, in 1977, Saturday Night Fever on this day, 39 years ago, starring John Travolta, premiered on this day, the height of disco fever. Let's see, in 1985, actress Felicia Rashad married former NFL wide receiver and sportscaster Ahmad Rashad. Unfortunately, their marriage did not last. It was on this day in 2003 that President George W. Bush announced the capture of Saddam Hussein. In 2008, an Iraqi journalist threw his shoes at President George W. Bush during a news conference in Baghdad. Bush was not hit. Actually, a pretty impressive dodge he made of the flying piece of clothing. And in 2012, 4 years ago, oh, just a terrible, terrible thing. 28 people, including 20 children, were shot to death at Sandy Hook Elementary School in Newtown, Connecticut. I remember we were on our way to Gatlinburg, actually, on the day that the news broke on that story. Just unbelievably so horrible. May God rest their souls and bring healing to those families who still suffer the pain of that loss. Anyway, again, my question today, you got 24 hours to spend in Alabama. What do you want to do? 5734-BREAD-4, 5734-BREAD-4, or you can email me, MikeAllenShow@gmail.com, MikeAllenShow@gmail.com. I came across an interesting quote from John Legend, the very popular singer, you know, who wrote sang the song All of Me, Once All of You. Now I'm trying to find the quote from him because here we go. I wanted to give him a little bit of a word of warning. We'll kind of sneak this in here. John Legend, I guess recently married to Chrissy Teigen, his wife. On Fatherhood, as soon as we found out we were... Well, I'm assuming it's his wife. Anyway, on Fatherhood, as soon as we found out we were pregnant, John Legend, this is a quote from a social media. As soon as we found out we were pregnant, I started writing songs about what it felt like to be a new father. I already was so inspired before I even saw Luna. It's a beautiful thing. We want to have a few more, hopefully. So I guess already had their child, Luna. He said, we want to have a few more, hopefully. Three or four. We'll play it by ear, though. What I will say to John Legend is, we'll play it by ear, brother. Be sure to prepare yourself for a big brood, God willing. That whole play it by ear thing, or you throw in that word or between three or four. I mean, I love it, actually. I think it's great to see someone from Hollywood embracing the idea of a large family. I tell you, when we get back from the break, you know, how my wife and I ended up with seven, certainly wasn't in our original plans. But I love that quote from John Legend. We'll play it by ear, though. Been there, done that, seven children later. So that's my, of course, I love all my children and am thankful. And still, man, when I see a little baby, I'm ready to go down that road again. But so that's my air quote here, warning for John Legend. Play it by ear, huh? Mm-hmm. All right, we'll be back. This is the Mike Allen Show.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
Minutes before the hour, you're back on the Mike Allen Show. Here on this Wednesday, the 14th of December, the feast day of St. John of the Cross. We'll talk about him a little bit more in the next segment, as well as the type of questions that suffering prompts. Get my question of the day on Alabama Statehood Day. You've got 24 hours to spend in the state of Alabama. What is it you want to see and do? Love to hear from you on that. There was a piece I saw on attractionsofamerica.com. They listed the top 10 things to see in Alabama. I listed the top five earlier. Let's see the next five. Number six, the USS Alabama's Battleship Memorial Park. This down in Mobile. That'd give me an excuse to see Mobile, which I've always wanted to see. That little coastal bay city. Number seven, Gulf Shores, which, I hear very underrated as a family vacation spot. Number nine, the McWane Science Center in Birmingham. And number also tied for number nine, the Huntsville Botanical Garden. And then number 10, the Birmingham Civil Rights Institute. So pretty good choices. But like I said, they didn't list an Alabama-Auburn game in that as well. That'd be, I love how you know Bryant Denny Stadium there in Tuscaloosa, it's like it just was dropped down right in the middle of campus. It's weird. It's almost like it was airlifted in and just that stadium just boom dropped down in there. So pretty cool. 573-4BREAD-4 573-4BREAD-4 if you want to chime in, or you can email me, MikeAllenShow@gmail.com. By the way, Alan Thicke, the Growing Pains actor, evidently dead of a heart attack at the age of 69. So pray for eternal rest for the soul of Alan Thicke and all those who mourn his passing. Children of the 80s will particularly remember his role in Growing Pains for sure. Anyway, back to this story I was telling you about John Legend. Saying, by the way, this is his wife, Chrissy Teigen. I mean, it is the entertainment industry, so I guess I couldn't assume. But, yeah, they've been married and have a little girl, Luna, and he commenting on how much he loves being a father. We want to have a few more, hopefully three or four. We'll play it by ear, though. And as I was saying, that's usually the path to a pretty big family, which is good. And if he's going to be true to his song, by the way, all of me wants all of you, then how is that song compatible with contraception, to be honest with you, right? Because what is contraception by its very nature? It involves a withholding of some aspect of ourselves. Again, the Judeo-Christian understanding, the body contains the person. Our body is not an appendage. It's not an avatar. It's part of who we are. You can't subdivide the body. Therefore, our fertility is intrinsically part of our whole embodiment. It's part of who we are. It's part of our masculinity, part of our femininity. So if all of me wants all of you, then that means the gift of your fertility. Therefore, if our union in the body, our becoming one flesh, is going to express, sum up, perfect, and complete what we said with our vows, then there's no withholding, right? So anyway, when you say we'll play it by ear, that doesn't mean you have to have as many children as God will send. I mean, we do, we can engage our reason. And if we have serious reasons to space out our children or to avoid a pregnancy, periodic abstinence is the way to go. But, you know, people wonder why, you know, for example, that there are those who practice what's called natural family planning or fertility awareness, periodic abstinence, sometimes have larger families. It's not because the methods themselves are ineffective. It's because, I don't know, people tend to come to enjoy and to welcome a large family. When my wife and I were an engaged couple weekend, way back in the day, I think the question came up, how many children would you like to have? This was, of course, 28 years ago, so my memory is not completely clear, but I'm pretty sure we both said two, maybe three. That was our experience. I'd grown up with two siblings. My wife had grown up with two siblings. We had never even thought about any moral questions regarding contraception, sterilization, anything like that. We assumed it was as normal as taking ibuprofen. It was only into marriage a number of years that my wife began to have qualms about it. But I remember when my wife became pregnant with our fourth child, and we'd been married, you know, almost, I guess we'd been married 9 years when she found out she was pregnant with our fourth. That's not totally unreasonable, four children in 9 years, but certainly four children was beyond what I had imagined. And our third was only about 4 or 5 months old when she discovered it. And I had kind of decided that after that, I'd just go get a vasectomy, much to my wife's dismay. And we had arguments about it. Neither one of us Catholic yet at the time. The Catholic Church not even on our horizon. But it was an elderly mentor of mine, also not Catholic, who, when I told him of my frustrations and my plans, said in essence, have you invited the Lord into this decision-making process? Have you asked him whether you're through having children? And I had to admit I hadn't. Brought about a little, at least the beginnings of a conversion. I didn't have a full-blown understanding of the human person and the meaning of sexuality and all those things that would come with discovering the Catholic faith. But all of a sudden, I quit digging my heels in and said, okay, we'll play it by ear. In the words of John Legend. So, three more children later, we've been very, very blessed with a large family. And I understand, believe me, I can't imagine the heartache for those who struggle with desiring fertility and not having that experience. And may God, in his strength and mercy, accompany and comfort those in those circumstances. But when you say you'll play it by ear, Mr. Legend, I pray God blesses you richly and that your ear, which is so beautifully tuned to the musical scale, will be tuned to the beauty of more life for you and your wife. So that's a pretty cool story, I think. I tell you what, speaking of entertainment, I don't know if it's just my impressions, but it sure seems to me like 2016 is an epic year for great movies. You know, every once in a while you'll read stories every few years about the demise of Hollywood, the demise of the film industry, and nobody has any creativity anymore. They're just remaking old plots, repackaging them with new stars and all the rest. But then you get a stretch, and I've noticed this, and this is where I just need to touch base with Alyssa Wilkinson, who's one of my favorite movie reviewers, who writes for Vox. She's written for Christianity Today and Rolling Stone. She's an evangelical, I think, with real Catholic sensibilities. One of my favorite movie reviewers. And she usually puts out a list of the top current movies. And I get the sense that she's been overwhelmed by the number of great films. And now we've got this new one coming out called Silence, which I think it comes out December 23rd. Martin Scorsese, his epic, based on the novel Silence, which was written about the work of it, written by Shusaku Endo, came out in 50 years ago in 1966, about Catholic missionaries to Japan at a time in which the Japanese emperor was doing all that he could to destroy Christianity in his country. He saw it as an instrument of Western influence. And evidently, it's a very dark but beautiful exploration of the questions of suffering, of God's presence or seeming silence in the midst of suffering, the temptation to abandon one's faith in the midst of suffering. This preview from TheGuardian.com says, "The silence of God or the deafness of man is the theme of Martin Scorsese's epic new film about an ordeal of belief and the mysterious, ambiguous heroism involved in humiliation and collaboration. It is about an apparent sacrifice in the service of the greater good and a reckoning deferred to some unknowable future time. Silence is a drama about Christian martyrdom. And like all such films, from Carl Dreyer's The Passion of Joan of Arc to Fred Zinnemann's A Man for All Seasons, it must address an atheist countersensibility, aware that the Catholic Inquisition itself saw no difficulty in putting perceived heretics to death, and that arguably their own martyrs are therefore ineligible for lenient humanist sympathy." Why, you're really going to bring out the Inquisition anyway. In fact, in this movie, there's a fierce debate about the opposition of Christianity and Buddhism of Europe and Asia, and about the relativism of faith. Liam Neeson, I think, plays a Jesuit priest who has, under pressure, has forsaken the faith and married and become a Buddhist. And there are missionaries sent to check in on him, but they have to be very clandestine because of the dangers involved. It looks like a powerful film. Maybe up there with The Mission, which came out back in the 1980s. So, add that to my list of films that I want to see. But I want to read the novel first. So I need to get my hands on the Endo novel, because I want to have that tucked in my brain when I go see the film. 573-4BREAD-4, if you want to chime in. We're coming up on a new hour. The kind of question suffering prompts right after the top of the hour. This is The Mike Allen Show. You're listening to Breadbox Media.
Listening to Breadbox Media Podcasts. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.